Okay, let's start right into it. The next talk is about combining tracers, namely the kernel ftrace and the LTTNG user space trace. So who am I? That's me. I'm Felix. I work as an embedded Linux developer at Siemens Foundation Technology in Munich. And if you ever want to contact me or reach out to me, this is where you find me, on GitHub, Mastodon, and also via email. So before we start with the actual technical stuff, a quick poll. Who of you has worked with ftrace? Ah, that's very good. Who of you has worked with LTTNG tracing? Okay, less people, user space or kernel? Kernel? User space?
Both.
Both, okay. And who of you used both ftrace and LTTNG tracing at the same time? No one. Maybe that changes from now on. Let's see. So where do we come from? This is not an artificial problem we want to solve here, but one we actually had in the field. So we needed tooling to analyze a complex real-time communication bug. So in the field we had a device and there did some real-time communication. And the device was also secure booted. That means you cannot easily make modifications to the kernel or load kernel modules. In general, I really dislike out-of-tree modules, so the LTTNG module from this perspective is a bit problematic. And apart from that, it was also really hard to exchange or replace the kernel we are running there, simply because it was tedious. So it was easier to use the infrastructure we already had in the kernel and combine that with these things we can exchange, like we were able to deploy containers there, also privileged containers, which is good if you want to configure the tracing infrastructure. And by that, we needed a solution which works for our developers, which are familiar with the Trace Compass tool to analyze traces. And in some of our applications, we also already had user space trace points, so LTTNG UST trace points. And the developers really like them because they are low overhead if you turn them off. They are also low overhead if you turn them on, but of course you have some. And they are quite easy to integrate into C or C++ applications. So we made a plan with the goal to instrument the applications that do not yet have had the trace points in it with LTTNG user space trace points. And use the ftrace infrastructure in the kernel, and in the end, then the developers can use the Trace Compass tool, also from Efficios, to view the combined trace. And with combined, I mean, they should not view two traces, but they really want to view a perfectly time-synchronized trace, both from user space and kernel. For the due diligence, there is an ftrace reader plugin for Trace Compass. We tried it, but it was horribly slow. And in the end, we also wanted a more streamlined solution. So from that, we derived some requirements, like we want to convert the kernel ftrace into the common trace format, because that is what the Trace Compass application can read, and also some other tracing tools. And another really important thing is the tracing and the analysis of the trace should happen on two different systems, because the system we have in the field is an embedded device, doesn't have a UI or whatever, so we need a way to capture the traces there, copy them over to the machine where we analyze things, and then run the analysis there. With that, before we start implementing, we had a look at some conceptual challenges. One was how to read the trace buffers in a portable way. That's what I just said, so that you can trace on one system, copy it over to the other one. Then how to convert thousands of trace events, like basically all the ftrace events, without writing a one-to-one conversion for each of the events, because that's really, really tedious. Then how to synchronize the trace clocks, both in user space and kernel. And finally, no solution really works out if the developers don't accept it, so you need a solution which also works for non-experts, like application developers, for instance. And with that, let's dive into it. The first challenge is how to read the trace buffers. I hope you can see it in the dark mode here as well. In the diagram, you see that we use trace command on the device, which in the end is just a front end to the tracefs in the kernel, which you can ship in a privileged container, the trace command binary, and with that we can record both the flight record, so the trace itself, the binary trace, as well as all the metadata we need, like endianness, the event descriptions, process command lines, and a couple more things. And then we copy this thing over to the other system where we do the analysis. And there we have these great libraries from Steven, libtrace command, libtrace event, and libtrace fs to open up the file and extract the data there. And in the trace.file, you have basically a set of metadata, which are the kernel command lines, the descriptions of the events, or event classes, and then the flight records, which are usually one buffer per CPU, but you can also have more buffers per CPU if you use sub-buffers, for instance. And then we write an event converter, which then converts the events which we have in the flight record from one representation, like the kernel representation, into the intermediate representation. So the next challenge here is how to create the common trace from a trace. And for that, there's the great bubble trace tool and a library, which is, in the end, it's a stream processing application, which is plugin-based. So you have a set of input plugins which can read an arbitrary format. These are the green ones here. With that, we can implement a plugin which can read the ftrace on the trace dot. And then you have a set of muxer plugins or filter plugins which combine the traces from multiple input plugins. And then you have an output plugin. And in this case, we can just use the plugins which are already there, like the CTF writer plugin, to then write our trace in the common trace format. And I would really recommend you, if you didn't do it before, to look into that project, because this is quite flexible. And once you get a grip on it, it's easy to implement basically any trace format A to trace format B conversions. So how to technically convert the trace events? The first thing which is noticeable is that the ftrace events are browsable. There is not an The binary trace format is not part of the kernel ABI. That means you need to capture these descriptions. But in the kernel, if you look at the trace entries here, like events, IRQ, soft IRQ, for instance, format, each trace point has one of these format descriptions here, where you get the internal type definition of the trace event. Like here, you see the types, you see the offset, the size. And by that, you can parse the data in the binary flight record. Also, the trace events are named, like you have a system, a name, and then the format file. And the good thing is you don't have to do this parsing by yourself, because for that you can use the libtrace event, which already can parse this textual representation of the event, and then provide you APIs to extract the event type and all the field offsets and field types. On the other side, we have the bubble trace library, where we can programmatically create events, or more technically correct, event classes. So what we do there is we just implement a mapping from by reading the event classes out of the trace.dot metadata. Then we recreate them in bubble trace in the intermediate representation, and then we store these mappings in a hash table, because when we read the flight record, we just get event IDs, and as this is potentially hundreds of megabytes of data, this really needs to be efficient, otherwise the whole implementation is horribly slow. And even as it's out of band, still you want to have some performance, otherwise it just takes too long to do the conversion of the traces. The second part is semantics. So as I said, there's this LTTNG kernel module which directly can write the common trace format traces, but it has some slight differences in the semantics of the events compared to the ftrace. So one thing is that in the ftrace you have the events named after the system and then the name, and in LTTNG you don't have that system name. So for events like the IRQ events, where you have the system IRQ and then an event which doesn't start with the IRQ prefix, you have to add the prefix so that then the trace tooling, the analysis tooling like Trace Compass, is able to understand that this now actually is an IRQ event because it expects the LTTNG semantics and not the ftrace semantics. So this part of the conversion is easy. Then you also have field name conversions, like in the kernel you have the process ID or PID, and LTTNG consistently uses the term thread ID or TID for the same thing. Then you have some field values you have to convert, like in the scheduling events you have the priority values. In LTTNG they are adjusted by the max RT prior, so you have to subtract 100 in this case. And then there are some events which only exist in the ftrace, or they only exist in the LTTNG kernel module trace. For the ftrace events we can just add them, because in the end the analysis tooling doesn't care if there are more events which it can't understand. For events we don't have in ftrace we can't do anything, because we only have ftrace on the system. So either we add these trace events to the kernel and eventually profit from that, or we just accept that we don't have them. Another quite funny thing is that the LTTNG PID refers to the, so in LTTNG the kernel PID is named TID, and in LTTNG we also have a PID, but this refers to the kernel's thread group ID or TGID, which unfortunately is not captured in the sked process fork event. So in the ftrace case we don't have that event, but in LTTNG we want to have it for the analysis. It also works without that, but this is something I want to contribute to the kernel to also capture that in the sked process fork event. I guess it's cheap to capture, because then we can really do a one-to-one mapping. The next challenge is how to synchronize the trace clocks. And this might look simpler than it actually is. So the first thing you have to be aware of is that the user space trace and the F trace are captured individually. There's no synchronization between the two. So what you do is you like start the F trace and then start the LTTNG user space trace, or the other way around. And once you run into the issue or into the problem you want to analyze, you have to stop both. For the ftrace, you can just use a trigger, which then turns off the tracing. For LTTNG, there is a similar thing you can use, but you also have to program it individually. And if you use two different trace clocks for both traces, there is really no way to reliably correlate them at a microsecond or below that granularity. So what you need to do is to use the same clock. And the LTTNG user space uses the clock monotonic. In the kernel, usually the trace clock is used, but you can switch that, and by switching it to clock monotonic, both traces use the same clock. So they are running at the same pace, and by that they are already aligned. Then there's one more thing to consider, that is in LTTNG user space, the trace events are also adjusted by the world clock. But luckily, the offset to the world clock is also recorded in the trace metadata. So you know for a particular value of the clock monotonic what the value of the world clock was there. So what we do then is to extract that and just add that offset to the ftrace clock as well when doing the conversion. And by that, we have perfectly aligned traces, which is quite good if you look at the larger scale, which are even wall clock adjusted. How to make it usable for non-experts. The first thing is BubbleTrace provides a query interface. That means it can discover all the plugins. And then when you run BubbleTrace like here where you, no, we don't have it here. Here we have it. BubbleTrace, and then you provide a file. BubbleTrace will ask all the plugins, can you read that file? Or do you have some processing mechanism for this input string here? And then the plugin can say either yes or no, or some confidence. And then the plugin with the highest confidence wins, and BubbleTrace fires the plugin up and registers it as a source plugin. And by that, you can just use this short format here, BubbleTrace, TraceStat, to already read the TraceStat and the events from there, and then they just scroll your through your console. The second thing is we don't want to have them on the console, but we want to convert them to the common trace format. So we wrote a wrapper application, ftrace to CTF, which in the end does exactly that. It takes a trace.dot file and it then converts it to the common trace format. And here you specify an output directory where then the traces are written to. And The easiest user phase is one with a lot of command line parameters. No, I'm just joking. Usually you can just call it like that. So we have here this ftrace to CTF. Then you specify I want to have ATT and G semantics. So I also do the semantic conversion where I convert the pit to the tit and so on and the event names. Then I provide my user space trace. This is also a directory in this case and the output directory. And what the tool internally does, it first reads the first event from the user space trace. From there, we extract the clock definition to get the offsets to the wall clock. And then we set up the second trace processing graph where we feed in the trace.dot file and some metadata, like the clock definitions. And we also register the CTF reader to read the user space trace through that as well. And then we just follow the standard bubble trace logic that we use a muxer to interleave the traces and by time and then the CTF sync to write them out to a directory. And this is what you all were looking for probably. Here we have a screenshot of the Trace Compass application. It's a bit small here, but you have to trust me. There we used the Jitter Debugger application and added a couple of user space trace points. And we used the ftrace to capture the scheduling trace events. And here you see that the Trace Compass is able to correctly analyze these traces and also show them together. So with that, we are done, and I think we have time for questions. If you're interested in the project, have a look at GitHub Siemens BT2 ftrace to CTF. And while implementing that, we also did a couple of upstream contributions, mostly bug fixes, which I also list here.
Thank you. Cool talk. So what I wanted to see in the picture before, do you have like a drill down from the user space, from some two user space trace points like start and end for a function, and sort of align them to see like call stack wise basically, so to see like it goes to an IO function or it goes to some kernel, so IRQ.
Yes. So in theory, you could use the function graph tracing as well. And then you would see the call stacks. But in this case, we only use trace events, so we don't have a call stack. But you can use the, I think it's called thread analysis or control flow. Here in the bottom, you see it, where you see the control flow through user space and kernel as well.
Yeah. Thank you.